Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Well, hello, hello, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL podcast. Hope everyone had a fantastic holiday football weekend. All of you that celebrate Christmas, I hope it went well for your Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Mine did. My kids had a phenomenal time. That's the most important thing. Been a lot of football. It's been hard to juggle, I will say. There's no doubt. I've watched every bit that I possibly could, but juggling Christmas and family and all these football start times, and we got another one tonight, has been a little bonkers, but such is life. Again, it beats digging a ditch for a living. So, without further ado, let's talk a little bit. We'll get into some games here in a second, but let's get in a little bit into these playoff pictures, you know, what we learned going into the Monday night game. And I'm going to talk about the AFC today. We'll do the NFC tomorrow after we see tonight's game. You probably know a lot of this, but the Patriots, they have a bye. They're going to be the number one seed. There is some talk that maybe they won't rest their starters. You know, what are they going to do that... you know, they don't want to sit 2 weeks in a row and get cold. I think you play them and you see how the game goes is probably what happens to the Pats in week 17. The Raiders, without their car now, need to win. They have to beat Denver. Well, they kind of. They need to, if they beat Denver, who's going to come after him, I mean, that's for sure, with a great pass defense, a great pass rush, a great, you know, set of corners against McGloin, you know, a pocket passer who's played some in this league. But if the Raiders win that game, they get the 2 seed, which would be huge. If they lose and the Chiefs win, who play the Chargers, which probably don't have a lot to play for at this stage of the game, to say the least, and the Chiefs are rolling, as we saw last night. We'll get into that game here next. They would become the 2 seed, which would be gigantic. As for wild card weekend, the Steelers are locked in as the 3 seed, which could mean, if you're a Steelers fan, you host Matt Moore and Miami, and not to look ahead, but then you could go to the Raiders and Matt McGloin. You know, that's a pretty nice path to get the AFC Championship game. That's how it sets up today. But again, the Raiders have to win and or Chiefs have to lose. The Texans right now are locked into the 4 seed. So those things are not changing. The Steelers and Texans are locked in. They will both host a playoff game after, you know, wild card weekend, you know, after week 17. So, I don't even know how to preview these games for Week 17, by the way. I mean, there's going to be a lot of nonsense going on this week. It's going to be really hard not to look ahead to the playoffs all week. I'm finding that happening already Monday at noon. But anyways, but Miami very much wants to win this game, you would think, because if you're the Dolphins, you would much rather travel to Houston than Pittsburgh and face Tom Savage, I would think, as opposed to Roethlisberger in Heinz Field. So, you know, Miami still has a chance to move up to that 5 seed, and they need some help, but that's where it stands right now. You know, so Kansas City looks really dangerous. The Steelers look really dangerous. Obviously, the Patriots are the favorite. I can't say that the Raiders, even if they beat Denver and get the bye, are in the conversation of being anything close to a favorite. Houston very much seems like a one and done. Miami seems like a one and done. But boy, Miami's done some really good things lately, too. So AFC will be interesting. But you got to think on the surface, boy, this sets up pretty well for New England. All right, let's bust right into the Chiefs 33-10 walloping, really, of Denver. Big picture here for Denver. They got a lot of work to do. You know, that I think you look at this team and say, we got to get better defending the run. Our defensive line needs reinforced, maybe a starter or two, maybe a pure nose tackle type. And every down inside linebacker is going to be high on the priority list, too. They have some guys that are good against the pass, some guys are good against the run, but they need someone that can do it all. You know, an every down, first, second round type inside linebacker, you know, to me, that's going to be huge. That's not even talking about the offense, though. I mean, they got to get this running game right. They got to figure on a quarterback. Is it going to be Romo? I mean, it wouldn't shock me if it was Cutler, you know, if they are to bring in a veteran. Romo is going to be the name you hear a ton of the next couple months, and that makes sense. You know, I mean, John Elway did this with Peyton Manning, of course. So there is a precedent for going to get a guy that was a great player at the end of his career. They certainly need to reinforce the offensive line as well. This team needs some help. I mean, there's not much room around that. And what does that mean for Simeon? What does that mean for Lynch? You know, I am excited about both those guys. You know, I think both, you know, well, Simeon exceeded my expectations. Let's just put it there. You know, that he's better than I thought he'd be. Where I still have high hopes for Lynch, although he performed very poorly in a very small and advanced point of his, you know, stage of where he should have been in the, he shouldn't have been playing at this point. You look at the Chiefs, and they're rolling. The Chiefs are a good football team. They're well coached. Alex Smith wasn't asked to do a lot. But man, Kelce is a dominant player right now. The offense is going through him, but not exclusively. They have a lot of weapons. I think the line's playing pretty well. I love the way Spencer Ware is running. Quality player. Kelce is a dominant player after the catch, featured, go up and get it, long play, you know, big plays, a lot there to really like from him. And Tyreek Hill's the other guy, obviously, that is extremely exciting. And he's probably the Chiefs' best wide receiver. They hand him the ball at times. He's a dominant returner. He's unbelievably fast. He's super dynamic. He's the type of guy that everyone fears. I mean, he's a scary, scary player that's getting more and more on his plate, rightfully so. You know, Denver seemed really disjointed in this game. Poor weather. A lot not to really like from what you saw from Denver. Makes you wonder what we'll see from them next week. You know, that they, I mentioned before, that they are instrumental in what happens in the playoffs overall. I don't have a whole lot else to take away from this. You know, kind of a jaw-dropping performance from Kelce. Some of the stars on defense for Kansas City, and they have a lot of playmakers on that side of the ball, showed up big. Chris Jones is a rookie that I was watching a lot in this game. I think he's one of the better rookies in the league this year. Really, really impressive. He's been a nice boost to that defensive line, especially from a pass rush perspective. That's been big for them. Another guy, Marcus Peters, keeps showing up. He's doing a ton. D Ford, he's coming off the edge. He brings a different style of pass rush. Really impressive. And then a corner you probably don't know of, but it's been really showing up big this last month or so, is Terrence Mitchell for them, opposite Peters. So, as usual, the Chiefs have a lot of playmakers on defense. Very dangerous team. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
All right. I want to scan over three other games. And these will be from, you know, going backwards a little bit. And then we'll get to some more recent games tomorrow, including tonight's game I will talk Steelers-Ravens with you tomorrow as well, and then I'll pick out two more for the Tuesday show. I'm going to go all the way back to Thursday night, though, this is frustrating to me. You look at the Giants. I mean, it's just so much Odell. And yeah, he's awesome. And he might be better than Julio. He might be better than AB. He might be the best receiver in the league. He's a superstar. He's on a historically great pace. They target him 20 times. It just seems like this offense has nothing else. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, going into the playoffs. And I love the defense, but it's not elite. The run, Paul Perkins shows some things. I like Sterling Shepard, but I hate the way Eli Manning's playing. I think that we've had this conversation that it's conceivable that he's on the decline for real, that he's done. I don't think that's crazy talk. I think you need to continue to try to get Shepard and Perkins more involved. I love Beckham, but they're not real hard to play against is really my point here is, you know where the ball's going all the time and good luck stopping it. I mean, no doubt. I mean, he's a great player. Good luck stopping it. But geez, you have to have more. You have to have a running game. The offensive line is very unstable. The quarterback doesn't stabilize anything and can Eli get hot here down the stretch and like he has before and take this team to the promised land? I don't think so, but I mean, he has proven to do it before. I think that they need to go back to the drawing board this offseason. It's too late now for the year and figure some things out on offense of how to attack teams with more diversity, with more different, you know, get more players involved. I think this offense is highly, highly flawed for the Giants. Next game I want to talk about probably isn't real high on your radar, and I understand that. But, you know, the Jags beat up on the Titans in this game. And Mariota was injured. Carr was injured. You know, we'll talk about these things throughout the week, obviously, especially Carr. Brutal, brutal injuries. The Tyler Lockett injury was brutal this weekend, too. Breaks my heart. I really like the way he's playing, too. Finally recovered from injury. All kind of gruesome, all nasty. Reminds you that football is not always a wonderful, pretty game. But I want to talk about Jacksonville. Well, let's talk about Tennessee first. That they were getting whipped. I mean, if you weren't paying attention, it wasn't because Mariota went down and then all the wheels came off. That wasn't what happened in this game at all. They got beat from the start badly in a game they needed to have. Drastic struggles for the Titans within the division this year. And that's disheartening. I mean, they've been one of my favorites, one of my teams that I'm super excited about going forward. And that's going to remain, and I'm excited as could be about what they're going to do this offseason. I'm hoping Mariota's injury won't derail him too much for next year. Don't think it will at this point, but I still think the future is very bright. But man, you know, they need to do a better job in a bad division against, you know, the opposing teams in the AFC South. And this was another case in point. But, I mean, there's no doubt that Blake Bortles has been awful this year. You know, I mean, he's regressed terribly. But this was a really good showing by him. And did I love him coming this year? No, but I was encouraged. And I was one of the people to say that I thought he was right there with Mariota and Winston and Carr as the next generation of franchise quarterbacks. I did say even then that his 2015 season, the numbers, his fantasy stats were a little inflated. A lot of them were garbage time. Never wins on the road, never won. You know, he threw a lot of passes that could have been intercepted. But I had no doubts about Allen Robinson, you know, and Robinson showed up huge in this one too. And I like Marquise Lee. I have no problems with Hearns or Thomas. But this offense, you know, this passing game has to go through Allen Robinson. And I think he is legitimate star material. Obviously, he's been held back by his situation, his quarterback, a ton this year. But Bortles played really well in this game. And I know, you know, you look at the stat line, it was impressive. I actually think his performance was better than his stat line, which is the opposite of usually his situation. I do think, and I've mentioned this to you before, that I think Jacksonville would be crazy, even if Bortles has a great game next week, that you don't sit on your hands and say, I'm the new coach, I'm going to fix them, everything's great. Well, I think you do that and you bring in a veteran or draft somebody early, because you can't just say, you know, Bortles are bust. I think that's crazy talk. But anyway you cut it, I mean, today was, or, you know, this game against a Titans defense that's really weak on the back end, but isn't an awful D. Their secondary's bad. But was really promising, really encouraging, you know. So it's a tiny sample. I can't say I'm on board all of a sudden, but it's a heck of a lot better than what we've seen. And, again, I mean, Jacksonville could be a team. I'm not going to say they're going to be a surprise team next year on the rise or any of those things. That scares me because people do that all the time with this team. But they're interesting. You know, they're young. They've got a core. Maybe the quarterback that can be saved. Today at least showed us a glimpse of that, a peak. But we'll see. I'm interested to see the hiring. And I, again, would bring in some other quarterback of note without a doubt.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
When Flo flows, she flows in the know. Mind ruminates, the rates. Shown them all, I heed the call. Seeing the rest, I choose the best. Sometimes it's ours, sometimes it's not. When the fox walks, is it called a fox trot? That's a real question.
Compare Progressive direct rates with competitors' rates. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Lastly, Green Bay had their way with the Vikes. Packers are an extremely hot team right now. I think they're the, quote, team you don't want to play in the playoffs. But that's true. First, the negatives. You know, and I'm not going to talk much about Minnesota. I think they're done, and we'll talk about them down the road. But, well, the Vikes shut down the Packers running game. And the Vikes moved the ball well, you know, pretty well, I mean, against this Packers defense. So I'm not sure we're totally out of the... When we're talking about the Packers here, I don't know that we can say we're 100% out of the woods, that this defense is solid, that this running game is fixed. I'm not sure on those things. You know, both those items seem to kind of come and go for this team. Which, you know, somewhat to be expected, especially at the running back position where Ty Montgomery is still a work in progress and learning. And it'll be really interesting how they handle this running back position in the offseason, too. I mean, it's not time to talk offseason for the Packers either, but Christian Michael's a free agent. Eddie Lacy's a free agent. Do they trust Montgomery enough to trust make him a one? I bet they draft somebody high. But anyways, Jordy Nelson, he looks like the comeback player of the year. You know, missed all last season with a knee injury. No Randall Cobb in this game. This was probably the first game I looked at Nelson and thought, okay, he's back. You know, 154 yards. He looks like almost the same guy pre-injury. Maybe not as vertically explosive as he was then, but, you know, highly dependable. Dynamic, good route runner. You know, he caught the first eight passes thrown his way. Obviously, Rodgers trusts him quite a bit. We're seeing more and more, little by little, from Nelson and him getting back. He's impressive, obviously. Top receiver on this team at this point. Although I like Jared Cook. Cook does good things. I like Adams a lot, too. I like Devontae Adams quite a bit. So, but the story here, of course, is Rodgers. Rodgers is playing extremely well, extremely well. I mean, he took a big hit in this game, and it was a little scary. But all in all, the health doesn't look like a big problem. We talked about the calf. He made Everson Griffin miss near the goal line, which was kind of a bad effort just by the Vikings in general. Rodgers juked him and scored danced into the end zone, basically. But he's playing at a crazy level, just to be honest. Rodgers is a scary, scary proposition for anyone that's going to face the Packers right now. He's back to that MVP type of status. Certainly they are storming into the playoffs. It's not a done deal. You know, we'll talk NFC But the Packers have a huge Week 17 game. Of course, they've dug themselves a massive hole to get to this point. But boy, they're climbing out of it in a hurry. The whole team is on Rodgers' shoulders. And I have a hard time saying if the Packers win next week and Rodgers plays reasonably well, which I would imagine goes hand in hand, I think he's the MVP. And we'll talk maybe MVP more this week. That would be a good topic on a strange week. Our format might not be quite the same as usual. People don't probably care as much about the power ranks, things like that. Even game previews, there's not as many to talk about, who's going to play, who's not. So I got to work some things out for this week. But definitely we will talk about four more games tomorrow, including Steelers-Ravens, including Lions-Cowboys, probably two other prominent games. I'll have to fish through them and find the best ones. But the Packers are frightening, that's for sure. Rodgers is a stud. We'll talk MVP at some point this year too, or this week too. Rodgers is the guy I'm leaning towards. Matt Ryan's been great. Tom Brady has a strong case. You know, there's a handful of decent candidates. I just think the level Rodgers is playing at and bringing this team back probably gets it for me. But big win by the Packers. The team, just don't forget that they did show some flaws in this game, though. I mean, the running game wasn't there. The defense wasn't all that impressive. I mean, this was Rodgers, Nelson, you know, the passing game to won it. And that might be enough. All right, guys, over and out. Good talking to you. We will get into four games again tomorrow. Check out the rest of the Locked On Network. Be well.
Napa Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.